This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of scaphoid-lunate advanced collapse, or SLAC, from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Scaphoid-lunate advanced collapse, or SLAC, describes the specific pattern of degenerative arthritis seen in chronic dissociation between the scaphoid and lunate. Diagnosis is made clinically with progressive wrist pain and wrist instability with radiographs showing advanced arthritis of the radiocarpal and midcarpal joints. Keep in mind that the radiolunate joint is spared. Treatment involves observation, NSAIDs, and splinting in early stages of the disease. A variety of operative procedures may be indicated depending on the severity of disease and the patient's symptoms. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to etiology, as far as pathoanatomy, a chronic SL ligament injury creates a DZ deformity. The scaphoid is flexed and the lunate is extended as the scapholunate ligament no longer restrains this articulation. The scapholunate angle is greater than 70 degrees and the lunate is extended greater than 10 degrees past neutral. The resultant scaphoid flexion and lunate extension creates abnormal distribution of forces across the midcarpal and radiocarpal joints, as well as malalignment of concentric joint surfaces. Initially, this affects the radioscaphoid joint and progresses to the capitolunate joint. As far as the classification for scapholunate advanced collapse, the one to know is the Watson classification, which describes predictable progression of degenerative changes from the radial styloid to the entire scaphoid facet and finally to the unstable capitolunate joint as the capitate subluxates dorsally on the lunate. The key finding is that the radiolunate joint is spared, unlike other forms of wrist arthritis, since there remains a concentric articulation between the lunate and the spheroid lunate fossa of the distal radius. As far as the Watson stages, there are three. Stage 1 is described as arthritis between the scaphoid and radial styloid. Stage 2 is described as arthritis between the scaphoid and the entire scaphoid facet of the radius. And stage 3 is described as arthritis between the capitate and lunate. Note that the radiolunate joint is spared. While the original Watson classification describes preservation of the radiolunate joint in all stages of SLAC wrist, subsequent description by other surgeons of, quote, stage 4 pancarpal arthritis is observed in rare cases where the radiolunate joint is affected. The validity of stage 4 changes in SLAC wrist remains controversial, and presence of pancarpal arthritis should alert the clinician of a different etiology of wrist arthritis. As far as the presentation of scapholunate advanced collapse, symptoms can include difficulty bearing weight across the wrist, patient's localized pain in the region of the scapholunate interval, progressive weakness of the affected hand, and wrist stiffness. On physical exam, patients may have tenderness directly over the scapholunate ligament dorsally, they may have decreased wrist range of motion, weakness of grip strength, and you should perform a Watson scaphoid shift test. Patients may have positive Watson scaphoid shift tests early in the process. They will not be positive in more advanced cases as arthritic changes stabilize the scaphoid. The technique for a Watson scaphoid shift test is with firm pressure over the palmar tuberosity of the scaphoid, the wrist is moved from ulnar to radial deviation. A positive test is seen in patients with scapholunate ligament injury or patients with ligamentous laxity, where the scaphoid is no longer constrained proximally and subluxates out of the scaphoid fossa, resulting in pain. When pressure is removed from the scaphoid relocates back into the scaphoid fossa, and typical snapping or clicking occurs. Remember that you must compare these patients to their contralateral side. As far as image evaluation of scapholunate advanced collapse, you should obtain standard PA and lateral radiographs to start. A PA radiograph will reveal greater than 3 millimeters of diastasis between the scaphoid and the lunate. In a stage 1 SLAC wrist, the PA radiograph shows radial styloid beaking, sclerosis, and joint space narrowing between the scaphoid and the radial styloid. In a stage 2 SLAC wrist, the PA radiograph shows sclerosis and joint space narrowing between the scaphoid and the entire scaphoid fossa of the distal radius. Finally, in stage 3 SLAC wrist, the PA radiograph shows sclerosis and joint space narrowing between the lunate and capitate, and the capitate will eventually migrate proximally into the space created by the scapholunate dissociation. A lateral radiograph will reveal DZ deformity and subluxation of the capitate dorsally onto the lunate. keep in mind that stress radiographs are unnecessary. An MRI is also unnecessary for staging, but will show thinning of the articular surfaces of the proximal scaphoid and the scaphoid facet of the distal radius, as well as the capitolunate joint, with synovitis in the radiocarpal and midcarpal joints. Treatment of scapholunate advanced collapse can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management involves NSAIDs, wrist splinting, and possible corticosteroid injections. This is indicated for mild disease. Operative options include radial styloidectomy and scaphoid stabilization, PIN and AIN denervation, proximal row carpectomy, scaphoid excision and four-corner fusion, and wrist fusion. Radial styloidectomy and scaphoid stabilization is indicated for stage 1 scapholunate advanced collapse. As far as the technique, this option prevents impingement between the proximal scaphoid and the radial styloid, and it may be performed open or arthroscopically via the 1-2 portal for instrumentation. A PIN and AIN denervation is also indicated for stage 1 scapholunate advanced collapse. As far as the technique, since the posterior and anterior interosseous nerve only provide proprioception and sensation to the wrist capsule at their most distal branches, they can be safely denervated to provide pain relief. PIN and AIN denervation can also be used in combination with procedures for stage 2 or stage 3 scapholunate advanced collapse, such as proximal row carpectomy, scaphoid excision and four-corner fusion, and wrist fusion. A proximal row carpectomy is indicated for stage 2 disease, however is contraindicated if there is an incompetent radioscaphocapitate ligament. It's also contraindicated with capitolunate arthritis, which is stage 3, because the capitate articulates with the lunate fossa of the distal radius. The technique for a proximal row carpectomy involves excising the entire proximal row of carpal bones, that is the scaphoid, lunate, and triquetrum, while preserving the radioscaphocapitate ligament to prevent ulnar subluxation after proximal row carpectomy. As far as the outcomes of a proximal row carpectomy, this provides relative preservation of strength and motion. Scaphoid excision and four-corner fusion is indicated for stage 2 or stage 3 disease. A scaphoid excision and four-corner fusion provides relative preservation of strength and motion. Wrist motion occurs through the preserved articulation between the lunate and the distal radius, specifically the lunate fossa. As far as the outcomes, there are similar long-term clinical results between scaphoid excision / four-corner fusion and proximal row carpectomy. Finally, with respect to wrist fusion, this is indicated for stage 3 disease and any form of pancarpal arthritis. As far as the outcomes, wrist fusion gives the best pain relief and good grip strength at the cost of wrist motion. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 35-year-old female presents after a fall on an outstretched hand, and imaging demonstrates widening of the scapholunate interval and the cortical ring sign caused by scaphoid flexion. A lateral radiograph demonstrates a DZ deformity as well as an increased scapholunate angle. What articulation is expected to develop osteoarthritis in the third stage of scapholunate advanced collapse or SLAC? And the choices are 1. Radiolunate, 2. Capitolunate, 3. Radial styloid and scaphoid, 4. Entire radioscaphoid, and 5. Lunotriquetral. The correct answer to this question is 2. Capitolunate. So osteoarthritis resulting from scapholunate advanced collapse, or SLAC, progresses in stages originally described by Watson. 1. Radial styloid and scaphoid, 2. The entire scaphoid, and 3. Capitolunate. A fourth stage involving the radiolunate articulation has since been described by other authors, although its association in SLAC wrist remains controversial. To quickly review, SLAC is a condition of progressive instability resulting from injury to the scapholunate ligament. Standard wrist PA radiographs reveal SL diastasis greater than 3 millimeters, while lateral radiographs reveal a dorsal intercalated segmental instability or DZ deformity and subluxation of the capitate dorsally. Resultant scaphoid flexion and lunate extension create abnormal force distribution among the midcarpal and radiocarpal joints. This causes arthritis that advances in a predictable pattern. Surgical treatments include four-corner fusion, capitolunate fusion, complete wrist fusion, proximal roll carpectomy, radial styloidectomy, and wrist denervation. Moving on to the next question. A 52-year-old farmer's periodic wrist pain has been managed with non-operative modalities to include 2 injections in the last 8 months. A recent AP radiograph of the patient's wrist shows a grade 3 slack wrist demonstrating advanced arthritic changes in the capitolunate joint with a large capitate cyst. The patient now reports increasing pain and inability to use his wrist. The next best step in management would be, and the choices are 1, scaphocapitate fusion, 2, distal pole scaphoid excision, 3, total wrist arthroplasty, 4, scaphoid excision and 4 corner fusion, and 5, proximal row carpectomy. The correct answer to this question is 4, scaphoid excision and 4 corner fusion. So this patient has radiographic evidence of stage 3 scapholunate advanced collapse. Scaphoid excision with 4 corner fusion would be the most appropriate management of the answers that we provided for stage 3 slack wrist. To quickly review, when the scapholunate ligament tears, the carpal kinematics are permanently altered and the carpal bones no longer articulate in concert. This leads to a predictable pattern of arthritic progression. Stage 1 involves arthritis between the scaphoid and the radial styloid. Stage 2 shows arthritis between the scaphoid and the entire scaphoid facet, and stage 3 shows progression of arthritis between the capitate and the lunate. In addition to these radiographic findings of degenerative arthritis, patients will have a flex scaphoid and extended lunate, leading to a dorsal intercalated segment instability or DZ posture. Acute injuries can be treated by ligament repair or reconstruction. However, in chronic cases with advanced arthritic changes and fixed DZ posture, a salvage procedure is needed. Typically, a 4-corner fusion or proximal roll carpectomy are considered. A proximal roll carpectomy relies on healthy, intact cartilage between the lunate facet of the distal radius and the proximal capitate. However, in slack stage 3, the proximal capitate is degenerative, and this procedure should not be offered. Moving on to the next question. A 65-year-old right-hand dominant man has a 5-year history of progressive right wrist pain. He reports spraining his wrist playing football in college but otherwise has had no prior traumatic injury. He is a pack-per-day smoker. An AP radiograph of the wrist shows stage 2 slack wrist. The entire radioscaphoid articulation is arthritic with sparing of the capitolunate surface. Wrist immobilization, anti-inflammatory medications, and injections have failed to provide relief. Which appropriate surgical treatment option offers the lowest risk of postoperative complications? And the choices are 1, radial styloidectomy, 2, total wrist arthroplasty, 3, proximal row carpectomy, 4, scaphoid excision with 4-corner fusion, and 5, complete radiocarpal arthrodesis. The correct answer to this question is 3, proximal row carpectomy. So proximal row carpectomy and scaphoid excision with 4-corner fusion are both appropriate surgical treatment options for stage 2 scapholunate advanced collapse or slack wrist. However, proximal row carpectomy is associated with fewer postoperative complications, particularly in active smokers. Scapholunate interosseous ligament disruption leads to abnormal wrist biomechanics and degenerative arthritis. This progression follows a predictable pattern termed scapholunate advanced collapse. In stage 2 disease, where the entire radioscaphoid articulation is affected, but the capitolunate articulation is spared, both proximal row carpectomy and scaphoid excision with 4-corner fusion offer long-term pain relief while preserving wrist motion and grip strength. Scaphoid excision with 4-corner fusion has a higher rate of complications owing to non-union, hardware issues, and dorsal impingement from malunion. Proximal row carpectomy is not recommended in the setting of capitolunate arthritis or stage 3 slack wrist. Moving on to the next question. A 65-year-old man fell and injured his right wrist. Radiographs taken in the emergency room demonstrate scapholunate ligament disruption. He was treated as a sprain and no further follow-up was planned. He sustained 2 minor falls over the next 6 years and his wrist pain recurred. Recent radiographs show late-stage slack wrist. There is capitolunate arthritis, but no radiolunate arthritis. surgical treatment that will best address his symptoms and preserve wrist motion consists of, and the choices are 1, anterior and posterior interosseous neurectomy, 2, scaphotrapeziotrapezoidal fusion, 3, complete wrist arthrodesis, 4, proximal row carpectomy, and 5, four-corner fusion with scaphoidectomy. The correct answer to this question is 5, four-corner fusion with scaphoidectomy. So four-corner fusion with scaphoidectomy is indicated for stage 3 slack wrist. Surgical treatment of slack wrist is stage-dependent. Stage 1 disease, or scaphoid radial styloid arthritis, is treated with AIN and PIN neurectomy. This procedure can also be done in addition to other bony procedures for stages 2 and 3 disease. Stage 2 disease, or scaphoid entire scaphoid facet, is treated with proximal row carpectomy or scaphoid excision with four-corner fusion. Stage 3, or capitolunate arthritis with proximal migration of the capitate into the scapholunate interval, is treated with either scaphoidectomy or four-corner fusion or total wrist fusion. Some other conditions exist. For example, if capitolunate arthritis exists, proximal row carpectomy is contraindicated and four-corner fusion is performed. If radiolunate arthritis exists, both proximal row carpectomy and four-corner fusion are contraindicated and total wrist fusion is performed. If both radiolunate and capitolunate surfaces are preserved, then either proximal row carpectomy or a four-corner fusion may be performed. Moving on to the next question. What ligament is the primary stabilizer of the wrist following a proximal row carpectomy? And the choices are 1, dorsal radiocarpal, 2, dorsal intercarpal, 3, radioscaphocapitate, 4, ulnocapitate, and 5, ulnotriquetral. The correct answer to this question is 3, radioscaphocapitate. So the radioscaphocapitate ligament is the prime stabilizer between the radius and capitate, preventing ulnar translocation of the carpus. Its oblique orientation prevents the carpus from drifting ulnarly. This stout ligament must be protected when excising the scaphoid. And moving on to the final question. A 45-year-old male sustained a fall onto his right wrist 2 weeks ago. A radiograph of the right wrist demonstrates a scapholunate dissociation as evidenced by an increased scapholunate joint space referred to as scapholunate diastasis. What joint is first affected if left untreated with subsequent development of a slack or scapholunate advanced collapse wrist? And the choices are 1, capitolunate joint, 2, radioscaphoid, 3, radioulnar, 4, radiolunate, and 5, STT or scaphotrapeziotrapezoidal. The correct answer to this question is 2, radioscaphoid. So the clinical presentation in this question is consistent with a slack wrist. The radioscaphoid joint is the first to be affected in this process. The radiographs described of the right wrist demonstrate a scapholunate dissociation, as evidenced by an increased scapholunate joint space referred to as scapholunate diastasis. Remember, abnormal is when the gap is greater than 2 millimeters and increased from the opposite extremity and other intercarpal spaces. If left untreated, the wrist may progress to a slack wrist as originally described by Watson and Ballet in 1984, which is the most common form of wrist arthritis. The repetitive sequence of degenerative changes is based on and caused by articular alignment problems between the scaphoid, the lunate, and the radius. That's all for this review about scaphoid lunate advanced collapse or slack. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets Podcast.